Hey, I'm JD.
I'm Bud.
Hey, we're the Boxmasters.
And you're listening to Life Minute TV.
Joanne Butler here with Boxmasters. Academy Award-winning actor Billy Bob Thornton and Grammy-winning recording engineer JD Andrew. Thanks for hopping on with us at Life Minute.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
So you guys are on tour right now from your tour bus. How's it been going?
It's been great. We've had some really awesome shows. We're about 10 or 11 shows into it. And then we all got sick up in Canada, so we had to cancel that. But we hope to make up very soon. It was an awesome place. But we couldn't even hardly grow. You know, it was a really bad one. A little flu.
Yeah, the problem is it's like, you know, 10 guys living in a tube. If somebody gets sick, pretty much goes through the whole crew. I started about 2.5 weeks ago and still haven't really gotten rid of it. We're all, taking every herbal potion we can find in every health food store and trying to get rid of this stuff.
Besides that, think healthy. Love and Hate in Desperate Places, you're promoting that. Your 17th album, is it?
Correct.
Yes. Well, it started by... our bass player who plays with us live, Raymond Hardy, he always loved this song that we wrote years ago in 2009 called Jane Mansfield's Car. He wondered why we don't play it live anymore. And then we decided to include it on something because it had never been on a record. It just didn't fit the other records, you know, it was a little heavier. And so we took a couple of songs from 2009 and kind of made them even heavier. And Raymond and Kurt, the lead guitar player, they came out and played on them. And so this record is a little heavier rock.
It's than more rock.
It's more rock than rock and roll. We were a rock and roll band. Anyway, that's the way the album started. And then we came up with that concept of love and hate being both being intense enough to break your heart. My daughter Bella, the abstract art. Raymond and Kurt participated in a song, writing a thing with us on one of the songs for the first time. Very proud of it. People have been responding very well to it, you know, so far. Like I said, about 10 shows in, they've responded very well.
Yeah, and this record, we pretty much started it right after the tour ended last year. We did a full tour of the States, and then we got to do 2 weeks in Europe in July of 2023. So we came home and we just kind of immediately started in on this record. And we had another record slotted for release with 30 Tigers. And once we finished this one, I called our label rep and I said, hey, we've got to change the lineup here. We've got to come out with this new record next, because it really does sound more like us when we play live. When Billy and I in the studio, because we've done, you know, most of the records just by ourselves, and it's just a different sound. You put our live guys playing with us and it just instantly is a heavier, more rock sound. I mean, Kurt really just kind of does that naturally. It's poppy and rock at the same time, melodic, you know, there's stories. Instantly, as soon as I heard it mastered and finished, I was like, all right, we have to put this record out next. So the record that got bumped, which was called Missing a Heart, will probably come out on our website, you know, around Christmas or something, we'll figure out something to do with all of these records that we've got sitting on the shelf, because we've got a good handful of them that are, you know, mastered and ready. Maybe they need artwork, maybe they need sequencing, but for the most part, they're done. It's just, we make too many records and we don't know what to do with them. If we were really hip and cool, we would figure out ways to just hand them out to people, but we're not hip and young and cool either. So
how did you guys get together?
To make a long story short, which it is a long story, but essentially we were introduced through a mutual friend of ours, because I needed an engineer to come in and help me on a solo record, because I'd lost my old engineer to a job at a TV network. He got a great engineering job. I needed somebody for 2 weeks because the band was already gone home, but I had to do some drums and background vocals and stuff. Our mutual friend introduced us, said, how about this guy here? And so JD came in, and within a couple of weeks, we were talking about our musical influences and writing songs together. And that's how the Boxmasters were formed. We just found a mutual respect for each other and our taste and everything. And we liked the sound we got, and we played music together. Through working on a solo record, we formed the Boxmasters.
Boxmasters. Where'd you come up with that name?
We wanted it to sound like a 1960s name, you know? And if you remember the box top that did the letter, we took that from that part. And on the old RCA records, it had that dog with the photograph, and it says his master's voice. So we got box from box top, and masters from his master's voice on the RCA records.
Billy Bob, is music your first love over acting?
Well, I didn't know anything about acting, so yeah, absolutely. I started as a musician as a little kid and was just that my whole life. I became an actor pretty late. Yeah, I was already in my 30s.
When did you realize that you wanted to do that? And then how did acting come to be?
All I wanted to do was play music from the time I was 8. When I was about 15, 16, 17 in there, they used to use local bands to open for national acts, you know. So we got to open for a lot of people. After that, became a roadie with a sound company. Then I went to L.A. and went to Houston to play music. I played with a couple of different bands down there. After the roadieing days, still doing some of the roadieing, actually. Went to L.A. to play music. Accidentally became an actor because the guy said you should come to my class. I made like $361 doing a part one time for one day's work, and I was broke, so I thought this is pretty good. I better stick with it because I wasn't making that much money, you know, musically. So the only time I didn't play much music was from the sort of mid to late 80s. And then in the 90s, I started back. I just had to kind of keep my head above water for a while. It'd be almost like working at a factory or a Costco or something like that to survive till you could get back to music. So it turned out this was a larger enterprise than I'd anticipated.
How many instruments do you play?
I grew up as a drummer. I sing, I do harmony vocals, I play drums. I play rudimentary guitar, can write a song on a guitar. I don't need to be playing guitar on stage because these guys are way better than I am, so.
And ukulele.
Oh, I can play the ukulele, that's right, yeah.
I do the rest of the stuff. I do the bass, guitars, keyboards, guitorgan, and engineer.
What inspires you guys creatively, and then what's your process like?
It usually comes about at the same time, like a snippet of something will come, like a couple of lines and a melody, or a concept, and then once we have that concept and a little bit of a melody and a line or two, then we just sit down together and kind of hammer it out. I mean, we've written songs before where we just wrote the music and had one line or something. Then JD would go tinker around the piano. I'd go in the other room, finish the words, and then I'd come out there. He would have changed something that we had musically. I'd go, oh, okay, well, I'll do this then. Think about it for a minute and then, you know, rewrite that part. We've got pretty good at songwriting together. I mean, we know our process. There's not a real way to say what our process is, but we have one. We just wouldn't know how to explain it. You know what I mean?
We don't have to have anybody else come in to help us. We record everything from, you know, the initial writing of the song all the way to the mixing of the song. If I wasn't scared of it, we'd even master our records. But, you know, it's some sort of dark art that I can't quite wrap my head around. But, you know, we can make a record from start to finish just by ourselves. We've gotten pretty damn good at it over the years, I have to say. We get better on each one. We feel like every record we make faster and better and more interesting to us. If we felt like we were treading water and not really doing or saying anything important, then I think we would find something else to do and a way to do it that feels fresh to us. You know, that's how we just keep at it. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time Billy will have a title. He might just start singing the title of the song. And, you know, that's all we have. And so that'll give us an idea of, it's like, okay, whatever music we have to come up with has to fit that little tiny snippet. We also are very good at pushing each other to, like, we can do that better. You know, we're not afraid to tell each other, I think you can do something better or more interesting or with more feeling or, you know, just something that's like, it's missing something, let's do it again and go until we get it right. And, you know, thankfully, we're very open to each other's input and critique. It's not like, oh, you got an idea? Whatever. It's, oh, yeah. I mean, because we've burned through every idea we've ever had. And so it's like, we need that little something to, you know, spark going down a different road and trying something that maybe we didn't think of before. It's a comfortable working relationship in that way. That try this or think about this, or it might be crazy, but try this sort of thing, you know, instead. Something completely different than what you're doing.
And how would you say your sound has evolved over the years?
Our first records were kind of like concept records. They were like, let's do hillbilly British invasion stuff. We didn't even sound like us in the first two records, really.
Well, we weren't supposed to. I mean, yeah. We were the opposite. Yeah. We were supposed to sound completely different, right, than Billy Bob Thornton. The Boxmasters were a completely different thing.
So we get into kind of a hillbilly thing. And it was very tongue-in-cheek. There's a song on one of our early records that was a cover called Eleanor by the Turtles, which was a tongue-in-cheek song. And so we essentially did originals and covers of very often humorous songs. After that, we started playing kind of like we do, but we sounded more roots rock, more Americana rock. We did that for a little while, and then finally we just said, oh, look, let's just sound like we sound. We're a rock and roll band because we're guys who love the Beatles and the Beach Boys. So yeah. We're finally just doing it.
And yeah. A lot of the stuff in the earlier days, we had other guitar players who would play with us. In the very first records, it was Mike Butler. He was the first third Boxmaster. And then after that, for a while, Brad Davis, who had been with Billy on his solo records from the very beginning, Brad would play, and his style is a more rootsy, bluegrass-inspired kind of style. Even though he's playing electric guitar, he still just has this thing to him that has a sound. After Brad got too busy, we would have Kirk played on a record. Then we also had guys like Skunk Baxter and Kevin Eubanks played on a song. You know, we'd have other people come play, as well as Teddy Andriotis, who played keyboards with us, you know, for a bunch of years. We'd have all these other guys come in. Every time you put somebody else on it, it kind of gives the record its stamp. It's a different thing than finally it's like I got enough confidence. It's like, okay, I'm going to play the lead guitar here. That gives everything a different sound than having somebody else. And it's kind of the purest sound of us. It's only two people playing every single note, and it has a bit of a different sound. That's one way we can change things up. And we get into a very 60s inspired period, you know, every couple of records where we're using kind of a date as a touchstone. So we had a record called Boxmaster 66, where, you know, it's like, what would we sound like as a band in 1966? We had another one called 69, which is what would we sound like as a band in 1969? Technologically, what kind of things would we use? 69's a bit heavier than 66. It's still not as heavy as 72. It's still heavier than 66. Kind of every record is a concept record for us. It's like, what are we using as our focus for this record? And how can we basically make these songs come together? How can we write songs in the vein of the other songs in it, but they still be different? It's a lot more thought about it on each record than just going in and be like, hey, let's write 10 songs and put it out. We're thinking about everything from the writing to what instruments are going to be on it and what's the subjects and everything like that. There's a lot going on. And the lyrics were never just me and my baby went to the malt shop. You know, there's socio-political stuff. There's internal monologues. There's things our kids say, you know, that become songs. There's a lot of poetry going on in the lyric.
What's next for the Boxmasters?
Getting well and playing the rest of this tour.
Tell us about this tour. Where is it headed?
We started in Texas, then we went up the West Coast, you know, Seattle, Red Bluff, California. We ended up doing 4 shows in Canada. It was supposed to be 5, but then we had to cancel the one in Winnipeg. So now we've had 3 or 4 days off. We're feeling pretty decent now. We play Chicago tomorrow night, and then we're just off all the way across the country. We're going northeast, the southeast, the south, midwest, back to the west coast, back to Texas. We've got a pretty extensive tour with very few days off from now on. So glad this happened to us when we had the tour.
Yeah.
You know,
we've got maybe 4 days off in October, so we're going to be playing a ton of shows back to back every night. And if you go to www.theboxmasters.com/shows, you will see the whole tour schedule. We've got 10 guys and a bus driver, and everybody works really hard. We love to do this. If we didn't have families, we would do it year round, and we would just never stop. But we do have kids at home and wives that want us to be around for some reason. We love being out here with our friends, but at the same time, we love being in the studio, and we love to create, and we love to write songs. We have a pretty good way of life. We get to do what we want. We aren't answering to a record label that says write hit singles or anything like that. It's like, well, that doesn't exist anymore, and it definitely doesn't exist for a band of guys that are over 50. Thankfully, we all get along really well. You know, we're all super good friends. We really look forward to this time when we get to be out on the road with our pals.
What are fans going to get when they see you play live?
We're a full-on rock and roll band. I mean, it's a pretty exciting show. We connect with the audience a lot. We just go play our songs and talk to the people. We tell stories sometimes about the song, if it's a place we haven't played before, you know. But we're pretty interactive with the audience. We like people to get up.
Yeah, and we're an old-school rock and roll band because we don't know any better. What you here on the stage is coming off of the stage. We're not relying on gizmos. We're not replaying tracks to make ourselves sound better. For better or worse, how we sound live is how we sound. You know, it's too accepted in the music business these days that musicians and artists can get up there and hit a button on a laptop and dance around, and that's their show. That's not being a musician. That is, I guess, being a performer. But it's not how we grew up. It's not strapping on a guitar and going out and playing, you know, and doing your best. That is going out and making a fail-safe product to give to the people. And we're not down with that at all. We're on a mission for bringing back rock and roll band and music that we grew up on, and just trying to have people either perform or support live music in its pure form. So that's what we're all about.
If you want to hear a record exactly the way it sounds on the record, then just stay home and save your money and listen to the record. When we play, it's all natural. I mean, if we screw up, you're going to hear it.
JD, people want to know, what's Billy Bob really like?
We wouldn't be doing this for 18 years if we didn't get along and if we couldn't make fun of each other. Here's the thing. We're in our bus. We have, counting the bus driver, 11 people. It stinks really bad. We never have any water. If Billy wasn't a man of us, if we didn't all get along and feel like, you know, we're all equals in this, well, we wouldn't be able to do it. I worked in the studios for 10 years before I met Billy. And let me just say, I've worked with some of the best artists of all time and some that are very famous. And I learned how to do things audio-wise with people who don't have the talent. And luckily, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't basically have to make things out of thin air. The first time I went and met Billy and they played me what they're working on for Beautiful Door, I was super thrilled. I mean, the music was amazing. I loved it from the first chord of the first song. And if I didn't have the amount of respect and admiration for Billy's talent, I wouldn't be here. I'm certainly not getting paid enough to spend every second of my life working on this band.
He does all the business.
Billy Bob, what's your favorite film that you've done?
It's kind of hard to say. I mean, they've all been pretty different. If I were an action star or something like that, and my movies were similar, I could probably pick out a favorite. But since they're all over the place, you know, different kinds, it's hard to pick one.
I'll pick mine. A Man Who Wasn't There. I remember vividly my roommate saying, hey, we got to go see this new Coen Brothers movie with Billy Bob Thornton in it. I was like, okay. And I'm not a movie guy. I've always been a music guy. My eyesight's really bad. But I remember vividly going to see that movie in Los Angeles and digging the heck out of it. That one's my favorite.
Billy Bob, you want to tell us about Landman?
I haven't seen it myself, you know. I never really watched stuff by anything else. It's about the oil business in Texas. I think it should be pretty darn good. From the reaction that the trailer's been getting, and I think it could be a big one. No, you never know. The audience may not respond to it, but I know what we did when we did it was very good. If everything aligned, if everything comes together right. It was written very well, and there's some really good people in it. I think it should be really good.
Biggest life lesson.
Do what you love and don't lose focus. Keep at it. If it's something that you really want to do, then you kind of can't do anything else. And that's kind of what we've always done. This is what we have to do. And there's kind of no plan B on doing something else. Maybe you'll do something at various times just to make sure your rent is paid or you have food to eat. But at the same time, you kind of just got to be in it. Find ways to get in and work really hard and show people that you can do it. And then at the same time, be cool about it. Otherwise, you have to balance that line of being super enthusiastic about it every second and not needing it at the same time. It's a fine line of between clever and stupid.
Here's mine. Learn from your past and learn from others and move forward with your heart.
What does music do for people? What did it do for each of you?
Well, it's like food. It's like air. Some people are born having to do it, and I think that was the case here, really. I don't think there's anybody in this band who wasn't born and started listening to Elvis or the Beatles or whoever it was, and it was just already blood. It's just, oh, that's the thing. That's the thing that I want to do. That's what I love. You know, Frank Zappa has a lot of good quotes on music. If you look up just some of his quotes about music, he's one of the smartest guys about it. He also says some pretty funny ones about it. He has one quote where he says, all the good music has already been written by guys in powdered wigs and stuff. Basically, his quotes are saying, without music, there's no life, you know, and we feel that way.
I'm a big fan of what Billy and I do together in this band. And it's everything that I've ever wanted out of a career, out of a partnership. But if I didn't love what we did with kind of all of my being, then, you know, I'd do something else. Got an amazing studio. We make records that I'm so proud of. And we get to tour with our friends. I couldn't ask for anything more than this.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.